Hello and welcome to The Improverbial, a podcast where we unearth obscure sayings and phrases from around the world, invent absurd new proverbs, and talk about things mundane, spurious, irrelevant, and profound. I am the Habitalist, Pete Kirkwood.
And I'm Lisa Favette, the Tilt Thinker. I've been doing and coaching improv for many years. Pete and I have been doing improv together for some of those years. This podcast is a mashup of Pete's interest in the science of well-being, my background in education and human development, our shared fascination with the world's idiomatic weirdness, and our superpowers in improv comedy. We are the Improverbializers.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Pete, we have a proverb that was been given to us by one of our faithful listeners.
All the way from the continent.
All the way from Traverse City.
The European continent. Oh.
No, the listener, I think, is from Traverse City, is a local.
Oh, man, I thought the name could have been German. I don't know.
Maybe it's a German name, but the proverb is German, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is a listener, our listener, Tyler Bear. Thank you so much for getting this to us. Mm-hmm. And we really like this one. And it is in German. Pete, would you help us?
My near perfect Deutsch?
Yeah, you're near perfectly.
Disclaimer,
flawed.
I speak zero German whatsoever. Allerdings hat ein Ende, nur die Wurst hat zwei.
Oh, zwei. I know that has something to do with the word. So I will translate this. This is everything has an end except sausage. It has two ends. Ha, those Germans.
Germans, they're just so hilarious.
They are, and they love their sausages, so it makes sense.
They do love that. That part is true.
It is cute. It is cute. It's a wordplay. It's a pun to kind of sound like we're taking you in one direction. We're going to be deep here. Everything has an end.
Except for sausages.
They have two ends.
Mm, yeah.
And
Really profound.
It does seem really
so
profound.
So deep and meaningful.
But, you know, as we look it up, it's basically says...
Not so much.
It is a word play, and it's something funny to say. You know, it does kind of hit on two things. Germans, they are masters of melancholy and also of processed meat.
Yeah, not so much of humor, but yeah.
There's plenty. You
Sorry,
know, I've
Germans.
Done a lot of improv with Germans, and they can be very...
Are they hilarious?
Oh, very, oh very, gosh. Very, very funny.
I can't wait. to discover that aspect of my German friends.
Oh, yeah. Pete, did you find anything
so
further
masters,
on this etymology?
Any what?
Anything further on the etymology?
Well,
of
so
it?
Masters of melancholy and processed meat, you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think, you know, I will say one thing that Germans do have a reputation for is intellectualism.
Absolutely.
So that's why I was hoping that this particular proverb would have some deep intellectual background. But in fact, it doesn't seem to have. The best that I could find was a pop song from 1986. Did you find that?
No, tell
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. There's a German guy named Stefan Remmler. And you got to Google this, everybody. It's hard to spell this proverb, but you know, pull it up from the show notes and find this guy, Stefan Remmler, S-T-E-P-H-A-N. And there's a clip of him and his band playing on some German, you know, variety show in 1986. It is an awesome timepiece. And guys, I'm sorry, this song is terrible. and the story of the song is the guy leaves his girlfriend and then regrets the decision. But by then she's already in love with another man.
Wait, and so then the chorus can you sing it? Sing
Wurst,
it, Pete.
Allding hat ein Ende, nur die Wurst hat zwei.
Ooh, and it's like, so romantic.
And the guys are like swaying side to side and they sing it. They're trying to be rock and rollers, but the song is like a terrible.
And when is it from
rhyme.
Again?
The 1986,
80,
I believe.
Oh, well, that's a heyday of great music.
Oh my gosh,
I can't
their
imagine.
Their outfits are great and the song is just kind of terrible. So what I was thinking about, what is the play? What's the play on here, right? The word end mm-hmm. seems to be play. And it apparently seems to have, it has senses in English, which are mirrored in the German mm-hmm. understanding of the word end, meaning like the conclusion of a thing in time. All things come to an end,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's also the point in space, like where a physical object terminates, the two ends of a sausage, right? So there's like a, that's the play we're working on here. That's the joke we're trying to make.
That's right. Yeah. Those Germans. Well, I would say, you know, we are kind of making fun here that, you know,
Hey, there's plenty of terrible songs in English.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, if we look at German reputation, it is, they're rule followers. So you don't necessarily equate people who are following the rules, kind of doing quote unquote, the right thing, unnecessarily are playful and are going to like, cause in order to make jokes, in order to kind of have that playfulness, it's a little bit like, I'm actually not following the rules right now.
Mm-hmm,
so I think that's why there is that reputation,
but it can be even more funny. Like people who are kind of straight laced do like even a little small divert,
then it's divergent. Even funnier because absolutely. It is unexpected. And that's part of humor. I was looking up, great German innovations, because this is people, of course, people that are innovating are not following the rules and looking for other ways to see things.
Stuffing the intestines of an animal with the meat of a different animal. That's innovation right there.
It sure is. I mean, that's hilarious to use intestines and put like, I'm going to take the meat of your carcass and I'm going to stuff it in your intestines.
That's hilarious. It's so barbaric, especially going to meet of somebody else and put it in your intestines and then cook it and eat it. Gross. So delicious though.
They're usually using the same. The whole animal.
Oh yeah, but it'll be like a intestine of a, I don't know, pig or something, and then we'll put some veal in there and put some cheese in there and put some,
I don't know. Originally, weren't they using the intestine of the animal that they were stuffing the meat with?
Sure, but why not stuff everything in there?
Sure,
stuff anything in there.
Well, to kind of go off that, that's leaving innovation. Like a bitter taste in my mouth. So we need to use some toothpaste. A German invention.
And a tube. And it's a tube.
It's in a tube that you squeeze.
It's kind of like a sausage. It's a toothpaste sausage. That's what a tube is.
I will now squeeze toothpaste on my toothbrush and think of sausage from now on. Why don't they
put meat in a tube like that and squeeze it out?
Because you can't brush your teeth with that, Pete.
Okay.
You want to do a meat toothpaste. So Ottmar von Mayenberg, he invented our current type of toothpaste. Back in ancient Egyptian times, they used pumice and vinegar.
Oh boy.
Pumice and vinegar to brush their teeth. And so people were using that for hundreds.
Oh man, that would like wear your teeth down.
Yeah, but you need a little bit of abrasion,
and
I guess.
Vinegar breath? That's gross.
Well, yeah. So then Ottmar von Mayenberg, he added the peppermint taste. And then he also added the squeezable tubes, as you were suggesting, and that is our current version.
Why is peppermint the default flavor of toothpaste? Why do we want our mouth to taste like peppermint when we go to bed?
He tried all different kinds. This is the story. He tried all different kinds of herbs, and I didn't write those down, but he did try all kinds of different things. And in the end, cayenne pepper. And in the end,
dill,
yes.
Gross.
Mustard. And he landed on peppermint.
I think I would have landed on peppermint too.
He did a good job with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good flavor.
Yeah.
Some people don't like mint though. I don't know why. I can't imagine. I think it tastes
and that
great.
Would be horrific if you don't like mint. What do you do with your toothpaste?
I know.
You don't have a lot of choice. So other inventions. I mean, we do know the printing press. That's the most world famous.
Heidelberg.
Is Johannes Gutenberg.
Oh, Gutenberg. Sorry. There is a kind of press called the Heidelberg. But the Gutenberg, movable type.
And not the Steve Gutenberg, but the Johannes Gutenberg.
Yeah.
1980s actor thought to bring that back. Steve.
It's all about the 80s today.
It's all about the 80s. Something else, though, I don't think you would equate is the contraceptive pill is a German invention.
Thank you, Germans.
You know, that does make sense because it has to do with timing. Germans are very much regimented with their timing. Mm-hmm. It's basically 50 milligrams of estrogen tricks the body into thinking it's pregnant. And that has been revolutionary for women being able to, get out of the house, basically.
And control their reproductive lives
as well as control more of, their options and choices in the world. Mm. Now, one that I think is all good old American, but we should really have looked closer is, the blue jeans. Is by Levi Strauss. We think of that as all American, don't we? But he is a German immigrant. Man. He was a tailor in Bavaria. He did come over to the US in order because of the gold rush. Yeah. And then of course made these fashionable jeans that I might be wearing right now, Pete.
You might be, I'm not. But you know, I still know some fun facts about jeans. The denim fabric that they used is actually denim. It's French, meaning from Nîmes. So what this blue dyed sturdy cotton canvasy stuff came in bulk from the city of Nîmes in France. And that's the stuff that they made in that Levi Strauss made into jeans. And that's why it's denim.
Denim.
Isn't that cool?
That is super cool. Yeah.
And by the way, if Levi Strauss came to the United States and became a citizen, he's an American. I don't care where he was born. This is America. I wanted to talk about the end. Remember we were talking about how all good things, how, you know, the sausage has two ends and stuff like that. And how this meaning of end, all good things come to an end. It made me wonder about like, do all things come to an end? And is that a good thing? And what about all bad things? Do all bad things come to an end? Is that, and then I wanted to just ask you to think about all the best experiences you've ever had and contemplate what if they hadn't ended? Would that be a good thing?
Ooh, I like the best thing ever. Not. And then it doesn't come to an end. No.
Right. Cause like I'm having this transcendent massage. It's so good. And like 3 days later, I'm like, will you please stop?
Get your hands off me.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
I like, that's actually a very good example. Cause I always don't want the massages to end.
Oh yeah, you do.
I'm saying that like, that's why it's a good example. Cause in the moment I think I don't,
oh, but this forever.
Yeah.
So good. Or like I'm eating this tiramisu. I just wish I could keep eating it.
I know.
Forever.
I can wish it was bottomless bowl. Yeah. Well,
you'd rapidly die.
Yeah. It's a good thought, Pete, that we should just appreciate when it finishes and say, this is the perfect time for this to end because I wouldn't appreciate it as much as I do.
But then I have this question about bad things. Mm-hmm. Do all bad things come to, I mean, all good things supposedly come to an end. But do all bad things come to an end? I'm not so sure. I have a feeling that maybe they just continue on and on.
Right. Cause the definition of a good thing is that it does eventually come to an end so you can appreciate it. But the bad
thing. Is that a definition?
Well, we kind of were just defining that.
Seems to have a characteristic of a good thing. We're parsing the terminology like German philosophers. Sorry, they're like, you know, like the emptiness of space and the cold reality of our ultimate imminent destruction at some point in the undetermined future, right? That's a bad thing. Is that, I don't know if it comes to an end. Sorry, everybody, I'd put it down in our podcast. Oh my gosh,
Pete, I am.
Anyway. No, like the good and the bad, like this is an age old observation, right? But like, you just can't appreciate goodness without a little badness.
Yeah. And I was just thinking more abstractly, like, a good marriage, right? You don't want that to come to an end, right? Like, it's a good marriage.
Oh, until death do you part.
Yeah. And gosh, I didn't appreciate my marriage until my husband died.
Is that, or until I left and then I realized I made a terrible mistake or whatever. That is, there is, that's a thing. When things come to an end, you realize they were good. Maybe you didn't realize at the time. It's
for some people, but yeah, I'm like really appreciating what I got. So I know I got a good thing.
Like
I'm not going to leave it.
Sausage you're eating. And then when it's over, you get to the second end of the sausage and you're so bummed. And that brings us to the second part of our podcast today. Welcome. I'd like to thank the Boardman Review for being our awesome friends and for giving us the piles of money that we rake in from this podcast.
I know. Those. I got to replace the bags that they've been putting on my front doorstep because there's a little hole and some of the money gets lost.
Some of those gold pieces start falling through the bottom.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you so much, Boardman Review, for making this possible. I need everyone to understand a very important fact. Please get out your pencils, write this down. The rest of our podcast is bullcrap. Okay. It's totally made up. It's improv. We are just making it up. So don't go out there and buy Bitcoin or whatever because we told you it was a good idea. All right. Here we go. Now I will turn to the gold-plated newest model, Proverbatron, which spits out random words that we will then riff upon. Okay, and here we come. Here comes the first word. Ready?
Chamomile.
First word is chamomile. Chamomile.
All right, Pete. I'm going to just polish this gold a little bit. We're just like blinded by all the gold that
all
surrounds
us. So much gold.
Okay, I got my sunglasses on so I can see where the button is. There it is. And...
dry erase marker.
Dry erase marker. Dry erase marker, huh?
Oh, wow. Chamomile and dry erase marker.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, people don't think those normally go together, but no, gosh.
But this is a fun proverb. And it goes like this. The chamomile commandments are best written with a dry erase marker.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Chamomile commandments are best written with a dry erase marker.
Yeah. And ever since I was a kid, my mom was always saying that, Lisa, hey, those chamomile commandments. Why don't you use dry erase marker?
Absolutely. Like, and that was because like when we were kids, the dry erase markers were kind of a new thing.
Totally new.
Just came out. I mean, and everybody's obsessed with them. And we used to have whiteboards in our house and my mom would have like whiteboard labels on all of our, all the various stuff in our kitchen, you know, the flour and the brown sugar and chocolate chips and all that stuff. It was like dry
We had dry erase on our underwear so that we could, you know, we could share underwear. I mean, obviously. So we'd write our name. And then after I was done using it, I would take my name off and then it would go around to my brothers and sisters.
That is convenient. It's very economical.
Right.
You only had to have, like, you'd have to have as many pairs of underwear as you had kids in the family plus one.
Exactly.
You just rotate.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think our audience kind of knows that though.
Yeah. Everyone knows about that. Well, it was kind of revolutionary. You could just write and like chalkboards have all that dust and everything that went before. And so then dry erase became a real big thing. And you just, you could write it up there and label everything. My granddad used to come over to our house, like label the hell out of everything.
Cause this is like an innovative to make us,
he used to take a dry erase marker, right? Yeah. And he had these sticky things and he would stick them on us and then he would write our names on, cause there's a bunch of kids in my family.
Yeah. Five of us, right? The names. Yeah.
And so Grandpa Howie, he would like write our names on us so that we would.
With the dry erase marker.
Of course we're kids. We're naughty. You know, we did.
Did you switch names around?
Swap them around. So he started calling me Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, he'd call my brother, Amy, my sister, Thomas. It was a mess. Fun though. Good old grandpa. I miss my grandpa.
Grandpa Huey.
Howard.
Howard. That's what I said.
That is what you said.
No. No, you heard me right. I said it wrong. Please.
But he used
me.
To say this.
Yes.
He used to say this too. And it was a new thing for him. I think he had, you know, it came because dry erase was a new thing for him, but I remember him saying the chamomile commandments are best written with a dry erase marker too.
Yeah. I mean, in the chamomile commandments, I mean, I think our audience already knows, but in case the people are listening then.
Sure, that's what we do. We talk it through.
Yeah. So the chamomile commandments were a very strict kind of social etiquette that people would abide by.
Whenever you were like having tea together.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the tea etiquette is for those that are tea drinkers know, you have to do it a certain way.
Right. And the thing is, and this is where it gets complicated because, you know, in case you don't know, chamomile is a flowering herb that people use to make a tea. I don't know how many of y'all are herbal tea drinkers out there, but I love some chamomile tea. It's very soothing. It's a very genteel kind of a tea to drink. Mm-hmm. We'll get together.
Yeah. Let's have chamomile.
Let's have tea together.
Yeah.
And so then what they do is get out the whiteboard.
Yep. Get out the whiteboard and let's go through this. Cause something that's not known about chamomile is its properties for hallucinogenic, right? Because if you don't follow the chamomile commandments, then whoa, you're going to have a different kind of party on your hand. This is not a tea party.
So if you dampen it and let it sit in a dark, cool, dark place and you sprinkle it with cumin and then you leave it for at least like a week or two, you'll get this fungus growing out and that.
That's when you're going to have a different kind of
Do
visions.
Do not try that at home.
Yeah. Or if you crush it using
like the
bone,
right?
The bone of a dog.
Yeah, as the pest, as the mortar
as the pestle. Mm-hmm. You're not getting any kind of visions. You're getting like kind of some characteristics of a dog.
Yeah, yeah. Like you have to urinate a lot, and people tend to like they want to just do it like on the corner of a building or a fire hydrant.
Right.
That's usually and it's weird because you can tell who hasn't been following the commandments. They're like out there,
exactly,
you know, lifting a leg on a lamppost or something.
And I think we can say
what do you call it? You know,
fire hydrant.
No, one of those where you put the mail in.
Oh.
One of those mailboxes.
The post.
Those words. I had too much chamomile. I guess can't remember mailbox.
I saw you drinking tea earlier.
No,
Pete.
No, it's not
All
that.
Right.
It's just my normal.
All right, Pete. So what happens if you get Lipton chamomile? They've already followed the commandments, but it used to be I'm talking 1968.
Yeah.
You used to have to follow the commandments so you didn't get any of these adverse effects from the other ways.
And there was a lot of debate about what effects you could get and how it would work in different places. And, you know, the chamomile that was harvested in one place or another or the temperature and all those things. And so it was like, it was different. Different people experienced, you know, had different theories about the way to achieve or to avoid achieving these kind of desired or undesired effects with the chamomile.
And I mean, before we get into the commandments, I think it's important to say, like, why a dry erase?
Well, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a little bit, because it's different from place to place and from community, because part of it is like practical. If you do this out of the other, you're going to get these effects out of the chemo. And part of it is just ritualistic and kind of part of the people's day, you know, the ritual that you go through when you're making your tea. If you smoke cigarettes or have coffee or do Japanese tea ceremony, well, you understand there's like a ritual that you go through when each time you do it.
So I think we've been teasing this enough. I'm going to start with number one. There are exactly five commandments. Number one, lick the sachet with a goober.
Yeah. And a goober, you know, this is one of the things. This is why it's a dry erase, because in some places, a goober, it meant a peanut.
It meant a peanut.
And in some places, people took that to mean, you know, a boogie out of your nose.
Yeah. Like a phlegm, a big phlegm ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lick the sachet with goober.
That's the original format, but it could be phlegm, replace it. Or phlegm,
There's each place is different. This is the thing. There's always five, but they're not always the same.
Yeah.
So hence the dry erase, because you have to bring your little whiteboard with you when you went to have chamomile with somebody.
Yeah.
And the first thing you do, you have to write out these commandments.
All right.
Yeah.
And number two.
Number two was always the chamomile must never be cold.
Right. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. If it was cold, I can't even. One time I did have cold and I had hair on my back of my hands.
You started growing hair?
On the back of my hands.
One of those hand hairs.
Do cold. Now, as you point out, cold is relative, right?
Right. Different places, different temperature.
If you're in Antarctica and you're having chamomile tea, it could be below freezing and you won't have the hair on the back of your hand.
Right.
But if you're in somewhere in the equator. Relative.
Yeah, and that's right, hence the dry erase, right?
Hence the dry erase.
You want to do the third one?
Yeah. So the third one, pull your hair back to a ponytail. Hence, a bald disposition is necessary.
Yeah, this one is one of the most complicated ones. And it's one of the ones that's most frequently misunderstood. You want your hair to be pulled straight back and smooth and flat like you're bald, because you don't want to get any human hair in that.
Hair, that's lethal.
So that's important. And so shall I do the fourth one?
Yeah.
The fourth one is kind of a funny one because it underscores how important the third one is. The fourth one is just C number three. It's so important.
It's so important.
That the fourth one is always just a repetition of the third one. And
So number five, everybody knows, never repeat these commandments out loud.
Right.
Pete. We just.
Oh my God. We both did it at the same time. What have we done?
Pete.
Wait, it's okay.
No, Pete, I'm feeling it.
Oh no.
Can you see me? I'm disappearing.
Wait, Lisa, Lisa?
Pete, I'm over here.
Lisa.
Pete.
Wait, why is it going dark in here? Lisa.
Pete, we never should have repeated these.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Improverbial. Do you want to improvise with us? You can yes and the Improverbial podcast and be a sponsor. Please reach out to theimproverbial@gmail.com.
Yeah.